ready? All right, welcome back to the Eat It and Like It podcast. We are going to show you proof today that here at Eat It and Like It, it isn't always about fancy food and barbecue and fried chicken. My proof is a chat here with Christine Tindall. She is the owner, last 5 years at any rate, of one of the most wonderful little Bay Street cafes you likely have never been to if you live here. It's called Cafe M. First of all, welcome. How are you?
I'm good, Jesse. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. You, Cafe M, like I said, you've been the owner for the last 5 years. It was around, opened by a French couple a few years before that, where they developed quite a following down there. Is that fair?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. They built it in the end of 2015, I believe they opened.
Is that how far back that went?
Yeah. We've been open for 10 years.
Really?
Yes.
See, I didn't know any of that. And they were friends. The years blur for me. That was that long ago already. And I think I mentioned to you one time we were chatting that that I went up to see them and they moved to Philadelphia. Yes. And now they have two cafes there.
Yes, right outside of actually kind of where I grew up.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. What are the odds of that?
I know, right?
Yeah, I was spending some time in Philly every year when my daughter was at New York University. And so one of my stops there, I'm like, you know what? I got some old friends here in Philly. I'm going to go holla at them. And it was lovely, lovely visit. Beautiful cafe that they have up there. But their move opened the door for you. Did you ever envision yourself owning a business, first of all, and second, a tiny, adorable French cafe in Savannah, Georgia?
In short, no and no. This was probably not on the plan, but it is kind of an opportunity that presented itself.
How did that come about?
Oh, so long story short, I was in the service. I was in the military for, I retired after 21 years, but about my 19th year, I was deployed to Kuwait. And through some circumstances, you know, it's that whole, what are you going to do when you get out of the military? And I was like, I'm going to be in forever. I loved what I did. I loved my job. And towards the middle to end of that deployment, some opportunities came up and, you know, a friend asked me, he's like, well, what about owning a business? And I was like, why would I want to do that? And he's like, no, really, think about it. And it was something that he had owned some businesses and thought, why not? Let's look into it, see what we can do. I actually looked into a couple of other different types of businesses. Cafe kind of popped up on our radar when I was looking at, I needed to move south. I didn't want to live in West Virginia anymore. It was a little too cold for me. So I started looking in Jacksonville, Georgia, Savannah, a couple different areas. And it popped up on the radar. So we started doing the research.
So having never done it before, obviously, and with a military background, I'm sure there was a lot of research. There was a lot of practicality. You know, what will this take? What do I know? Trying to find out what you don't know. I'm sure you talked to a lot of people. What ultimately was there one thing in your vetting, if you will, that led you to believe, you know what, I'm going to do this?
I think so. One of the blessings, I think, being overseas in Kuwait in the middle of the desert, it was in the midst of COVID and everything was shut down. We were already kind of doing nothing in the middle of nowhere. And it gave us a lot of time to prepare, to do the research, to do the due diligence. The initial thing we did was a audit like any other business would do to the financials. And my auditor is like, it's excellent. Everything looks great, which is really refreshing to hear from a small business, you know, and how that sort of thing can turn out. And she's like, no, everything, their books are great. Everything looks good. So we're like, all right, let's move forward. And COVID kind of drew out that process. You couldn't really do anything. Banks were definitely not giving loans for food service types of opportunities. So they kind of waited to see what would happen. And when the reopening of things started happening in the States, it started to progress. I was still overseas and really didn't get a chance to see the cafe except virtually until October of 2020. It was the first time I'd ever been to Savannah.
Oh, wow. I should mention, you know, sometimes businesses are very healthy when they're sold We should mention that the original owners moved because they fell in love with Samantha. I told their story 100 years ago. They fell in love with Samantha on a visit and said, oh, wow, it would be cool to live here. But then their family grew a little bit and the vibe just wasn't the same anymore. And they wanted more of a big city. And so they chose to move. And in doing so, sold a very obviously, you just said so, healthy business. That happens sometimes. Yes. So you had never been to Samantha and you were here getting on an airplane to consider coming here to buy a business. A lot of people would call that courageous at best.
Courageous or crazy. But the entire plan, I actually, when I came home from Kuwait, I spent some time with my family back in New Jersey, drove to West Virginia with my mom, packed up my house and left all within about a month of coming back. That was the plan. So then I got here and the acquisition took a little bit longer due to some different things. I was on leave, terminal leave from my deployment. So I was a tourist and got to see it from a different set of eyes. And then it wasn't until January 2021 when we were able to finally close the deal.
Was it when you arrived here in the hostess city, was it love at first sight?
You know, so I've lived in a lot of different places. I've been to a lot of different places and it sounds so cliche, but it was. And one of the coolest things that I found about this city is you walk around, especially downtown, and the first thing that the industry folks will say, oh, you know, welcome. What brings you to Savannah? I got that everywhere I go. Mostly people say, I'm here in business. I'm here for a wedding. When you say, I just moved here, not only were they nice in the beginning, but they became nicer. And me being from the Northeast, I'm like, what is going on? Like, really? And I thought that was a thing until I owned my own business. And I realized when we see our locals come out, we're so grateful because we do know how the hustle and bustle of the historic district can be. And it is an actual thing. But love at first sight, definitely, as far as the charming atmosphere. And then the people, I was just blown away by everybody's hospitality, really.
Yeah, I met a young lady with her mother over at our mutual friend Christina's 208 Wine Bar, which is down Factors Walk from you, which we'll talk about in a second. I met a young lady there with her mom on a visit, and she was, I'm here to scout out places. I've decided I'm going to move here. I'm like, oh, cool. A couple of glasses of wine later, hey, good luck to you, whatever. It was about a year, maybe year and a half later, I was back at 208 Wine Bar, and I saw her there, and I looked. My memory's horrible. I'm like, you were going to move here. She goes, I moved here 9 months ago. We had a whole other conversation, but
Awesome.
Those types of stories that you're describing happened all the time.
Yes, it really, truly does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Part of the charms of Savannah. So you buy this French cafe. How many square feet you got there?
Usable, slightly less than 900.
Tiny.
It's not very big. Tiny. Oh, very tiny.
No. It's not at all, but it is. I tell anybody who asks, hey, I'm looking for this. And when they describe it, I say, oh, no, you need to go here. Cafe M is really a jewel there on Factors Walk in the shadow of City Hall. Tell us a little bit about what you do. You haven't changed it much since you took it over 5 years ago, right?
No, the menu is holistically almost the same. What the previous owners built was excellent. The operations, I'm an operations person by background. So efficiency operations is what I have done my entire adult life. Right. And they handed it to me and I was like, oh yeah, this inventory isn't great. And really keeping it of what they built because that's really the brand. The only thing I think I changed within the first year, maybe two, was the logo, solidified the brand coloring, that type of thing. The things that you don't think of until you own a business, you're like, wow, yeah, you need to be consistent. The menu is pretty much the same. We've added a few things. We're trying to do more reoccurring specialty drinks. We rotate our quiche of the day, trying to do something a little bit different. My staff loves to be a little bit creative, so that's a lot of fun. But no, really, I've pretty much left it the way I found it.
Good. And I mentioned it in your introduction. And hey, you're going to own a French cafe, but it is a French-themed, French, you know, menu, if you will, tiny little cafe and coffee shop that you operate. Sandwiches, baguettes, fresh baked, correct?
Yes. Yep. They're all handcrafted sandwiches. Our quiches are made in-house. And pastries being the most popular, and it is French American. We under I know the Europeans like a very lighter breakfast than we do here in the States. So, and that's really what they built was with the egg sandwiches. It's stuff that really that people are looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What would you say is the biggest draw? What do people come looking for the most?
From an ordering perspective, definitely the specialty coffee. There aren't a whole lot of the espresso type coffees kind of just in my area. So people are really looking for that, something quick for them to take, you know, when most of our customers are here visiting for some reason or another, they want to be in, they want to be out or be able to walk around at least. So, I think the pastries are probably the most popular, especially in the morning. And then I think our Parisian sandwich is the most popular sandwich that people get. It's simple, it's yummy, but it seems to be their favorite.
Yeah. I've had the pastries, what are we calling this? Pain au chocolat. And the croissant. That's the extent of my French.
Mine too.
They're all wonderful. And it should be mentioned that, yes, you have a beautiful space there, so warm, and you have a little bit of retail. You still have that, right, where you can sell teas and all that stuff?
One of the things that I think may have changed probably in the last 5 years is I started focusing on local artists. So we have most of our retail that we sell outside of some branded items is really local artists. I have three right now.
Very good. I like that. I like that. But it should also be mentioned, how many seats you have in there?
Oh, I have got on the inside, I know I've got 12 on the outside and about 10 on the inside. Depending upon how many chairs we bring in.
Right. Well, that's where I was going with this, because one of the more underrated experiences for a cup of coffee, like you said, or a little sandwich, or any of the things that you offer to nosh on, is that view outside. You sit there, any one of your 10, 12 seats, like you said, and you've got a view of City Hall that way. If you crane your neck and you look around this way, you might see the Savannah River, but you're there, Factor's Walk, which is just so unbelievably historic. We're not going to bog anybody down with what Factor's Walk is, but Google it and learn about the history of Savannah sitting there right, you know, I could say a stone's throw, but it's a stone's kick, like 10 feet, where all this history happened right around you. To me, it is one of the more fascinating spots to sit outside in Savannah. If you're here for the history and the charm and all of that stuff, it basically envelops you if you're sitting outside. Is that fair?
Oh, absolutely. I think that is fair.
Yeah. Which makes it one of my favorite spots. You, like everybody else, I wanted to touch on this because you and I had a quick chat a few months ago about, you know, everything that all of you guys are going through. And I feel like a broken record when I talk to this owner and that owner and that owner and the costs and all of that stuff. You may be operating in the big picture, small menu, small business, but the cost of everything going up has squeezed you. That conversation we had that night stuck with me. Has it been difficult? COVID, well, you took over post-COVID. How tough has it been, I guess, is the question for you the last 18 months?
So it is the juggling and the learning how to, like, when's too much? Like, when am I charging too much that I'm losing my customer? And in the beginning, I hadn't raised menu prices for a very long time. And then you see the price of eggs going up, and that's probably one of my main things. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, how much is somebody willing to pay for a sandwich? And I've heard things, people say, oh, you know, you just raise everything 10%, and that's what the industry does. And I was like, there's got to be a better way. That doesn't seem fair to the customer. It doesn't seem fair to me trying to figure out really, truly what my price point should be. And looking around at my, you know, the other people in my industry, what are they doing? And how can we give our customer a better experience? And experience is one thing, but food is another. So you want them to have a good time, but you want them to think that they're getting value in what's in front of them. So what we did was we added things to our menu. If I rose my prices, I wanted to give them something additional. So whether it's a bag of chips, a side of fresh fruit, or, you know, a different portion size, something bigger, and seeing how that, translates into, you know, good business sense.
Mm-hmm. I get it. I get it. Like I said, I hear it from all of you guys, and I feel for you more than all of you know. It's tough. It's really, really tough. But I wanna start to wrap this up on a positive. Tell me your two or three most popular dishes, sandwiches, if you will.
Oh, my. So two or three most popular. The Normandy on a croissant, the brie pear ham, is absolutely a fan favorite. I did not really get into brie until I bought this place, and I can see the allure and why people like it so much. You can use it in a variety of ways.
Yeah.
I would say the breakfast sandwich is definitely up there, and it's because you can create your own, adding any different type of meats and cheeses, different types of bread. And our third, I would have to say the Savannah. So the Savannah, all of our sandwiches can be made into salads. So our Savannah sandwich is popular, but our Savannah salad, so it's house-made chicken salad on a bed of greens. People really do like it. It's not overwhelming as far as being very heavy. So they can eat it and they can still continue to walk about their day. I think those are probably the most popular.
I think everything you offer to eat is on the lighter side, where you can eat it and continue on. No one needs a nap after stopping at Cafe M.
No,
that's the beauty.
Definitely not.
You still doing your little happy hour with the five, I believe, dollar champagne or cocktails. Is that accurate?
Happy hour is all day long, except until after 11 o'clock, of course, on Sundays. We do $5 classic mimosa is what we do. But we also offer that in a bottomless mimosa as well, so they can stay all day. A little bit more expensive than $5, but...
I think the best way to wrap up our chat is, why limit happy to an hour, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I've told you once, I've told you a few times, I love your spot. I love the community that you guys have there. It's you, it's Christina over at 208 Wine Bar just over the bridge, and so many other small businesses that are there along Factors Walk. Everybody thinks it's all commercialized and all that. No, there's still some hungry young people doing great things along Savannah's riverfront, and Christina's one of them. So, tell us where we can find you before we get out of here.
Oh, well, you can find us on, of course, socials at cafemsavannah.com, both on Facebook, Instagram, and we do have our website where you can contact us more for small group catering orders as well.
Very good. And your address officially is?
128 East Bay Street, Savannah.
Right next to the River Street Inn, correct?
Correct. In between, sandwiched between the River Street Inn and Ye Olde Tobacco Shop.
Ye Olde Tobacco Shop. Whenever I see that, I chuckle. It makes me think of Disney World.
True.
Thank you so much for taking a few minutes to chat with us. Good luck. Have a wonderful summer, and I will see you soon.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. All right.